It's Morning Edition on NHPR. I'm Rick Ganley, and this is the New Hampshire News Recap. Newly released documents show some state officials had known for weeks about federal plans for an immigrant detention facility in Merrimack, and we'll break down what Governor Ayotte had to say in her State of the State address this week. But first, newly released documents from the Epstein files include dozens of records about the relationship between Jeffrey Epstein, the convicted sex offender, and New Hampshire businessman Dean Kamen. Joining me now with more is NHPR's Todd Bookman. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Rick.
Todd, for those who might not be familiar with Kamen's connections in the state, can you give us a brief overview?
Yeah, I mean, Kamen at this point is probably one of New Hampshire's most famous residents, if you think about it. When he rolled out the Segway in 2001, it made international headlines. The guy appeared on Good Morning America. Before that, he was already quite wealthy. He is, as you said, an inventor. He played a key role in some technology that led to the portable insulin pump and some other medical devices. In the last 30 years, he's bought up a large number of the Manchester Mill Yard buildings. He's an avid pilot. His helicopter has, you know, frequently traveled from Bedford to Manchester. And in 2016, he became the public face for ARMY. This is the very futuristic sounding project to try and grow human organs and tissues. He's coaxed tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars at this point from the federal government to fund this effort.
Now, Kamen has not been accused of any criminal wrongdoing in his dealings with Epstein, and he has previously described their interactions to be, you know, limited. What do these new documents reveal about the relationship between Epstein and Kamen?
Yeah, there's kind of been a slow drip. First, his name appeared in a flight log. Then last year, a photo emerged of Kamen with Epstein and the British billionaire Richard Branson. Then another photo came out of Kamen riding a Segway with Ghislaine Maxwell. But in the huge data dump from last week, the full extent of Kamen's relationship with Epstein was made a bit clearer, and it is far larger, far longer than Kamen has previously admitted. The men traded communications for years. They talked business. They vacationed together at least once on Epstein's private island. There's an email that appears to show Kamen offering to fly, quote, girls to the island. Again, no allegations of Kamen abusing women. He hasn't been accused of any criminal wrongdoing, but his connections to Epstein certainly stretched on for years. And even after, you know, Epstein was first arrested for abusing underage women.
So what's been the reaction to these new, you know, documents that have come out this week?
Yeah, the two entities Kamen is perhaps most associated with right now have essentially placed him on leave while they conduct outside reviews. So that's FIRST. This is the youth robotics nonprofit that he founded, and then ARMY, the medical technology project. Stephanie Shaheen, who is running for Congress in New Hampshire's first congressional district, she's been a paid consultant by ARMY in recent years. She's now distancing herself from the group. And so we'll just have to see if there's any other fallout.
Well, yeah, I'm asking, as a reporter, Todd, what do you, you know, what questions do you have as this unfolds and as these investigations go on, you know, presumably internally with these organizations?
You know, there are just so many documents in the DOJ's possession that mention Kamen or Epstein's other ties to New Hampshire that I don't think we've had the time yet to really piece together the full picture of their relationship, who else may, you know, have been friends or friendly with Epstein and sort of part of the circle. Again, Kamen has really sought to minimize his connections to Epstein. He has said that, you know, Epstein was essentially trying to use Kamen for his own promotional purposes, but you know, the full picture of their friendship, their relationship, isn't totally clear yet.
Has Dean Kamen said anything this particular week after this latest round of documents have been released?
He hasn't responded to requests for comment from NHPR. He has told other media outlets, though, again, that he was not aware of Epstein's abuse of women and has sought to essentially minimize, you know, their relationship.
Some other stories I know that you've been watching this week. Governor Kelly Ayotte gave her State of the State address on Thursday. Todd, you were at the State House. What did she offer as her vision in the coming year for New Hampshire?
Yeah, I mean, the speech kind of did two things at once. It looked backwards to celebrate her accomplishments, and did lay out a bit of what she's hoping for in the second year in office. Ayotte called for lawmakers to continue to address the cost of housing in the state. She said the same thing about childcare. She's calling for some new tax credits for businesses that offer childcare settings on site. Biggest applause of the speech was something I don't think would have been on my bingo card, maybe yours, Rick, and that was for nuclear power. There's
Didn't
clearly
have
a
that one. No, I didn't have that
no,
one.
there's clearly a huge appetite amongst some lawmakers in the state house to launch new modern nuclear reactor sites. Ayotte signaled she's on board. The speech did not have much in terms of specifics, though. And then, it was a 45-minute address, and Ayotte spent a fair amount of it taking jabs at other states. This is straight out of her predecessor Chris Sununu's playbook. A lot of criticism of Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and she sort of uses those states to talk up the New Hampshire advantage in terms of the state's tax structure, and also, spent some time highlighting the state's natural beauty. So that was sort of the bulk of the remarks.
Right. Yeah. Now, the nuclear reactor talk was a little interesting. It's almost echoing what the president has been saying in certain circles, but it's kind of wondering what that means exactly. What reaction did you hear from lawmakers or other state leaders following that address?
It falls generally along partisan lines. Republicans, praise the vision that Ayotte is laying out. Democrats, in their formal address afterwards, said that Ayotte is essentially ignoring or failing to address in her speech and in her policies the number one issue facing residents, and that's affordability. That the majority party in Concord is doing little to bring down prices. And so I think, that's probably a preview of what we can expect to hear in the months ahead as we roll into another election.
And HPR's Todd Bookman. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Todd.
Yeah, thank you, Rick.
Now, documents released this week confirmed that U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is planning to put a detention center in the town of Merrimack. And HPR's Kate Dario has been following this story, and she joins us now with an update. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning, Rick.
We've been covering this potential ICE facility for some time, but what do we know now about the agency's plans in Merrimack?
Yeah, first and foremost, these documents confirm the agency's intention to purchase and convert a vacant warehouse in Merrimack. And based on the renovations that the agency proposed, it's likely that they are looking to turn this commercial warehouse into somewhere that could hold people, that could detain people. And the Washington Post initially reported back on these plans in December, that the agency was looking to create a national network of facilities to expand and streamline its operations, i.e., deport more people more easily. And in that plan, the Merrimack site was identified as being able to hold up to 1,500 detainees.
And they could hold them up for up to 6 months, is my understanding. Is that true?
I believe so.
Yeah. Now, you found this week that at least one state agency has known for weeks about these plans, as the rumors have been swirling around. What's been the state's involvement so far?
Yeah, so these documents which were obtained through a public records request done by the state's ACLU chapter, show that ICE and the Division of Historical Resources have been in communication since early January. This is because federal law dictates that federal agencies reach out to relevant historic preservation agencies and states when conducting construction projects like the one that they're interested in Merrimack. So the agency submitted a request for evaluation in early January with the Division of Historical Resources.
And what's been the response from the governor?
Yeah, so the governor expressed, pretty deep frustration over not knowing this information because she has repeatedly said that she does not know anything about these plans since they were initially reported by the Post back in December. And she has told reporters that she has reached out to federal officials on numerous occasions requesting more information, looking for confirmation, but has received none. And in a statement released just hours after the ACLU released these documents on Tuesday, she came out pretty harshly against the department in which the Division of Historical Resources is housed.
Now, the Executive Council, I know, called a meeting this week where the governor and counselors interrogated the commissioner for that department. What happened there exactly? I mean, the governor seemed genuinely very angry about this.
Yeah, so she called for an investigation by the AG's office into what she called a serious lapse of communication over this issue. So yeah, I was at the meeting and it was pretty contentious. You know, you had counselors and the governor really just frustrated with this breakdown of communication. And also, again, what many of them have voiced before, which is concern that people in Merrimack have no say and have had no say over the you know, over this facility. And the commissioner for the Department of Historical for Natural and Cultural Resources, which the Division of Historical Resources is housed, she was at that at the meeting, and she had already, in a statement issued the day before, taken full responsibility and, you know, was apologizing for failing to alert the governor. She said that she didn't even know about this happening within her own department until the documents. And she also explained at the meeting that, you know, part of the reason that it had not been brought to her attention is that these historic preservation reviews, they are routine for this agency. And, you know, they do about 1,300 of them annually. So, you know, it was not something that they have the mechanisms in place currently, you know, to kind of really think about these and alert them. But yeah, there was definitely a lot of frustration in the meeting.
Why legally would the federal government need to do that review, that cultural review, her historical review with this department? Do you know?
Yeah, so basically yes, it's under a Federal Historic Preservation Act of 1966, I believe, and it's a Section 106 review, I believe is what it's called. And so basically what the state agency does, and the commissioner made this very clear, they don't endorse a project, they don't come out, you know, for or against it politically. What they do is they look at, will a project affect historical or archaeological resources in a
I
given
see.
area.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the agency found that this project would not affect any resources in Merrimack.
Now, as you said, there's been some opposition to this facility. In fact, there was I remember a protest at the site back in December when it was first rumored. What have you heard from town officials in Merrimack about what they're hearing about this facility and the opposition that they're getting?
Yeah, so I've been in contact with the town manager since December. And, you know, he told me when we initially spoke that he learned about this from the news, from, you know, the reporting from the Post. And since then, you know, he has repeatedly said that, you know, the entire town is just in the dark about this. They've reached out, you know, via the governor's office and through the congressional delegation. And directly to the Department of Homeland Security, asking for more information. They've been unable to get any confirmation from federal officials. And a couple weeks ago, they went as far as to write a letter that was addressed to Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, basically saying that they are opposed to this facility, citing specifically the potential adverse effects it could have on
Right.
financial resources in the town, you know, saying that,
Yep.
you know, if this became a federal facility that would affect tax revenue, that, you know, it could put increased strain on
Okay.
emergency resources. So yeah, they're just, and when we talked
Well,
today, I mean, talked to this week,
we're gonna
yeah,
have to
they
leave
said
it
they're in
there,
the dark.
Kate. So thank you
Sorry.
so much. NHPR's Kate Dario, thanks so much for sharing and reporting on this, and I know we'll be hearing much more as the story unfolds, as always.
Great. Thanks so much, Rick.
You can find out more about Kate's reporting at NHPR.org, of course. I'm Rick Ganley. This is NHPR.